Well, good morning. Boy, do we have a lot going on this month. This morning, we have Ephesians chapter 3 going on. So, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. The last part of chapter 3 this morning. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word as always, never taking for granted the amazing blessing of your word and the freedom to study your word, to proclaim your word, and how by your word, your people grow. And we want to grow this morning. Stretch us, challenge us, mature us, equip us, encourage us. We give you this time, and by your Holy Spirit, speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week, we studied the Apostle Paul. And we saw that Paul was a pretty special Christian. He's one of those impact Christians. He changed the world in which he lived. And we studied what made him so effective. Remember, Paul was, first of all, a lifelong student of God's word. Paul was also a pioneer. He had a pioneering spirit about himself. He would go and break new ground, taking the gospel message to the Gentiles. We saw that he was also a humble servant, and we saw that Paul was also a prisoner, meaning that he was willing to suffer for what he believed and what God had called him to do. All those things made Paul just fruitful, so usable by the Lord. Well, Paul was also a man of prayer. We didn't mention that last week, but I'll mention that this week. He was a committed man of prayer. He prayed all the time. And we know that he prayed regularly for all the churches that he planted during his church planting missions career. And some of the prayers that he prayed are recorded in the letters that he wrote to those churches. And twice, he prays for the church of Ephesus in the book of Ephesians. At the end of chapter 1, he prays for them. And then here at the end of chapter 3, Paul prays for that church. And it's a spectacular prayer. Let's read it and notice what he's praying for. Verse 14, Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." What a prayer. Question, what's most important to Paul in his prayer life when he's praying for other Christians? What is he praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ in this passage? Well, you notice that he doesn't pray about any external outward circumstances, does he? He doesn't pray about anything that they might be facing on the outside. He prays for their internal health. Paul prays for the interior health and vitality and nature and character of Christians. He prays for their spiritual health, what's going on inside a Christian. That's what was important to Paul. Now, I think as Christians, we flip that. I think many times when we pray for Christians, we pray about all those outward things, don't we? We pray, dear Lord, help that brother, he's sick. Help that marriage relationship, or help that family, they're struggling financially, they've lost a job, or help that brother get him a promotion. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with praying about those things. Those are important. The Lord is concerned about that. But what about praying for spiritual health? When you pray for Christian friends, do you pray for their spiritual health? Christian parent, when you pray for your kids, do you pray for the spiritual health of your kids? The spiritual health of your spouse? That's what Paul found important. And he makes five requests of God concerning the Christians in the church at Ephesus, and all of them having to do with the inner. Number one, he prays for their strength inside. Look at verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the what? In the inner man. Christian, Paul would pray for you that you would be strong with God's might in your inner man, your inner woman. Now that is the inner you, the inside of you, your spirit, your soul, that you would be strong spiritually inside. A constant prayer for that. We live in a society that's obsessed with physical strength, don't we? We are obsessed with outward strength. We're impressed with the size of biceps, how much a person can bench in the gym, how far a person can run and how fast, or how high a person can jump. You look at our society and it is absolutely obsessed with athletics, physical fitness, the Gatorade commercials, the Nike commercials. In fact, we live in a society that worships those kinds of things. And I would say that there's nothing wrong with being physically fit. There's nothing wrong with maintaining physical fitness. There's nothing wrong with being an athlete. As long as you don't forget about what really matters, the inner you. The part of you that will last forever. I ask you this morning, are you spiritually strong? Or do you have flabby spiritual biceps? Have you even thought about that? I used to work out at a gym years ago. And there was a woman who worked out at that gym. She was a semi-famous female bodybuilder. She was burly. She was more muscular than most men, right? And every time I was at the gym, and my schedule's all over the map, I'd be there in the morning sometimes or in the afternoon, but she would always be there, and she was always working out, and she was always drinking a protein shake every time I saw her. And I would talk to her a few times, and one time I entered into a conversation with her, and I complimented her. I said, I am so impressed with your physical fitness and your dedication to that. I just admire that about you. And she said, thank you, little man. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. She was a sweet girl. She really was. She said, thank you. And then I said, don't be offended by this, and forgive me if I pry, but how strong are your insides? How strong are you in the spirit? And do you realize that question knocked the air out of her? She sat down and it was like she'd never even thought about that. And I had the opportunity then to plant a seed of the gospel in her heart. But you know, I found that a lot of people don't even think about that, especially young people. But I'll ask you, are you strong spiritually? Did you know that you can be strong spiritually? And that you can become stronger and stronger inside, even though your body gets older and weaker? There's a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day by day. Did you know you can get old physically and weak, but the inner you can get stronger and stronger and stronger day by day? Paul prays, man, I pray that you would be strong inside. Now, how do you get strong inside? How do you have that spiritual strength? It's not by personal affirmation. It's not by personal resolve. It's not waking up each morning and looking in the mirror and saying, you're good enough. You're smart enough. Verse 16 tells us how we get strong. To be strengthened with might through his, whom? Spirit. In the inner man. Listen, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you ask him to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. And as you depend upon the Holy Spirit living inside you, you'll be strong. And as you commit yourself to spiritual disciplines, the spiritual discipline of prayer, which is like breathing, the spiritual discipline of reading the Bible, which is feeding your soul. The Word of God is your food. It's your protein drink. And then as you serve Christ in the church and serve people in the church and witness, that's your exercise. And all of that makes you stronger and stronger and stronger on the inside. That's where it counts. That's where it matters. He prayed for strength. Secondly, he prayed that Christ would dwell in their hearts. Look at verse 17. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's what Paul would pray for you. Christian, he'd say, I pray that Jesus Christ would dwell in your heart. And there's two words I want you to see there. Heart, first of all, does not refer to your physical heart, not your internal organ that's beating. This again is referring to inside you. The center hub of the real you. You at the core. Paul prays that Jesus Christ would dwell in you. And then this word dwell, there's two Greek words for dwell. The one is poroikeo, and that means to dwell temporarily as a stranger, like a few nights in a hotel. And then there's another Greek word that's translated dwell, and that's katoikeo, and that's the word that means to reside, to live permanently in. This is a word that means to be settled at and completely at home in. And that's the word that Paul uses. Paul says, I pray, Christian, that Jesus Christ himself would be completely settled and completely at home inside you. When you give your heart to Christ, when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you know that he comes into your life. He comes into your heart He resides in you. But Paul is not praying about that. If you've never done that, that needs to be the first step that you would take. But that's not what Paul is praying for. Paul is praying for Christians who already have Jesus living in their hearts. And he's saying, I pray that Christ would be at home in your heart. Think of your heart as a house. All these rooms. Closets. A basement, an attic. And as a Christian, Jesus has moved into your house. Paul is praying, though, that Jesus would have free access to every room in your house. Completely at home in you. Have you given Jesus access to every room in your heart? Or have you compartmentalized Christ? Are you the Christian who has said to Jesus, you can have my church life, you can have my business, but don't take my romantic life or my social life? Are you the Christian who has said, Lord, you can have every area of my life, but don't take my business life, that's mine. Or don't take my entertainment life, or don't take my social life. Leave that closet alone. Paul is praying that you would open every closet. That Christ would be richly at home in you, in every area of your life. Christian, if you surrender every area of your life, if you let Jesus be completely at home in your life, he will do house cleaning. He will take out the garbage. He will clean out some closets. I promise you that. And that will be a little painful. But you know what? Trust him with that. He's cleaning you. And listen, when you let him be the Lord of every area of your life, he is going to bring blessing to every area of your life. Every area of your life that you allow Jesus Christ to touch and be Lord over, he will make beautiful. Trust him. Let him have everything. That's what Paul prays for. Christians that let Christ have everything. I heard a testimony of a Christian woman, a very wonderful Christian woman, and she was looking back to her college days. She'd grown up in a Christian home. She knew the Lord. And when she got to college, she decided to take a few areas of her life and make it her own. Her social life, and her romantic life. And so she went to college and she joined a sorority. And she started hanging out with frat boys. And for 2 years, she was traveling in the party, party, party circle. And she caused herself a whole lot of pain. And after 2 years, she heard Jesus say, "Have you had enough yet?" And she repented. She returned to the Lord and she decided to give every area of her life. And she made changes. And for her, it meant not only quitting the sorority, quitting the school. She quit that college. She enrolled in a Christian university for women. She got involved in Campus Crusade for Christ. Worked with other college departments, other colleges that had Campus Crusade for Christ. And she looks back on that and she says, you know, I was scared to death to do it. There was something that I had I didn't want to give up, but I gave it up. And it was in those days that she met the best friends that she'd ever have. The best friends that you can have, like, real fun with, clean fun. She met her husband. She met the godly Christian man of her dreams. Got married, serving the Lord together. Listen, I know many Christians that are afraid of giving everything. They're saying, oh, Lord, I'll give you 80%. But not this. Not this. I want to have fun here. Never realizing that when you give that to God, He brings blessing like you'd never dream. Paul says, I pray that Christians would let Christ dwell in their hearts. Have you done that? Have you made that decision? Third, he prayed that they would be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being what? Rooted and grounded in love. Paul prayed that Christians would be rooted and grounded in love. Now, rooted, think of that coming from the plant world. Think of a tree, a healthy tree, and the root system, and how those roots go down deep into the soil and wrap around each other and wrap around soil and wrap around rocks. And from that root system, the tree gets its nutrition, and the tree is stable, stands still, even in those strong El Paso March winds. That's deep, that's hidden, it's below the surface. Paul would say, I pray that Christians have a love that's rooted in them. And then he uses the word grounded. Grounded comes to us from building. It speaks of laying a foundation. A foundation on which a building will be built. And the foundation is the most important part of any building. Do you see the foundation? It's hidden, it's below, it's under the surface, but it's the most important part of the building. I heard of a pastor who was having a church built, and they were taking for weeks and weeks digging the foundation, doing all these soil tests, carefully laying out and pouring all the footings, and he got frustrated. He finally said, why is this taking so long? And the builder said to him, Pastor, the most important part of this building is the foundation. If you don't go deep, you can't go high. The foundation, the bedrock foundation of your heart. Paul says, I pray that Christian love would be rooted in your life. That Christian love would be the foundation of your life. And what kind of love are we talking about? It's very simple. A love for God and a love for people. A love for God and a love for people. That's Christian love. In fact, you remember Jesus was asked one time, what is the greatest commandment in all the law? And his answer was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, the two greatest commandments in all of Scripture are number one, love God, then love other people. Jesus said the entire law hangs on those two. And Paul prays that that love would be embedded in the very core of God's people. Is that true for you? Do you love God? Do you love people? Is that love growing? Let me tell you, if you have that love inside, and it's inside, and it's real, you are going to live an incredibly fruitful life. Your relationships with other people are going to be awesome. You are going to be serving God for the right reasons. Your tree, your life, your building will be beautiful. It won't be blown over by winds. How about a Christian? Do you have that? Or are you here this morning and you actually have some hatred in your heart? Are you a Christian who is holding grudges right now against another person? Have you had a hard time forgiving somebody? The Bible says that we should be willing to forgive, that we would have this love deep down inside of us. Maybe you need to just ask God to help you with that this morning. She would be growing in that. Fourth request, and this is one of my favorites. Paul prays that we as Christians would know by personal experience God's love toward us. Check this out. Verse 18, I pray that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That is Paul's prayer. Paul would pray for you. I pray that you would know by personal experience, that you would know and enjoy God's love, Christ's love towards you. And please notice what we find out about Christ's love. It says, the love of Christ, verse 19, which passes what? It passes knowledge. It says, we can't even comprehend this love. This love is unfathomable. This love is something that you can't take in completely. He talks about the different directions, the width, the length, the depth, the height. He says, Christ loves you so much. I mean, his love is wide enough to include all people. His love is long enough to stretch to all of eternity. His love is deep enough to reach into the deepest pit and pull sinners out. Christ's love has been shown in its depth by him being willing to die and go into a grave. Christ's love for you is high enough that it will take you to heaven. I mean, you go every direction. When it comes to Christ's love, you go this way and you get to the end of the horizon and you look and you see another horizon. You go this way and you get to the end of this horizon and you look and there's another horizon. And that way, in front of you, behind you, you are immersed in the. Do you understand that the love of Christ for you is greater than any other love that you could ever experience? Christ loves you more than your spouse, than your parents, than your kids. When Paul says, I pray that you may be able to comprehend, really in the Greek, the better word would be that you can apprehend. See, this isn't a love that you can totally understand. You can't figure it out all intellectually. But Paul says, I'm praying that they'll experience it. They'll grab it. They'll live it. They'll know it. Oh, precious Christian, precious brother and sister in Christ, if one of you would be here this morning feeling down, oh, please, please understand that Christ loves you. You are the apple of his eye. And he's proved it by giving his son to die for you, right? There have been many times in my life where Christ has shown his love for me in a very wonderful way, in a personal, intimate way, and I love those times. I think it was about 10 years ago, I was going through a difficult time as a pastor. We were meeting in the tent. I don't know if some of you were here with us, but we had a tent. We moved into this property, and we had a hard time getting this building up, and so we were on this meeting in this tent where the playground is right now for 4 years in a tent. You know, summers are really hot in El Paso. And I remember we those Sunday mornings in the tent during the summer, we lost weight sitting there. I mean, it was, you come to Calvary Chapel and lose some weight, lose some calories. Very hot. Now, I remember being very frustrated at that time. It was about 2 years into it, and I was bummed. I was like, man, we live in the, 1900s. We live AC, air conditioning, carpet, but we couldn't get that up. And I remember one particular summer, I was taking the congregation through the book of Hebrews, which is verse by verse. I was going verse by verse through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a tough book. And we'd spend about 45 minutes in that hot tent going through Hebrews. And I remember it being so hard. And I was like, I even told my wife, or I didn't tell my wife. I told the Lord, this was my own personal struggle. I said, Lord, maybe I shouldn't be doing any verse-by-verse teaching. Let me just do some quick 20-minute sermons on love. I know you've called me to be a verse-by-verse expository teacher, but this is too much right now. And I remember thinking, I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm going to do some other kinds of sermons. Didn't tell anybody that. That's what I was thinking. At that time in my life, I was reading a book by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who is one of the greatest expository preachers who has ever lived, in my estimation. And I was just reading his story. And at one point in the book, it talks about how he wrote a letter to his wife on her birthday, May 18th. My wife shares that birthday. And I thought, that's so odd. Kim, check this out. You have the same birthday as Mrs. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And we thought, that's really cool. So then we get through the book. And at the end of the book, I find out that I shared his birthday. December 20th, I share the birthday of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, whom I think is one of the greatest verse-by-verse expository preachers in all of church history. This was weird. And then I find out that they got married in January. Kim and I got married in January. I desperately went all over looking for the date. I thought, oh, man, this is going to be the same date. Missed it by 12 days. They were on January 8th. Kim and I were January 20th. But still, I read this right at a point in my life where I'm about to throw in the towel on expository preaching. And God says, you know what? You were born on the very day of your favorite expository teacher. He was married to a woman who also shares the same birthday as your wife. You know what? That encouraged me greatly. And it was Terry Gray experiencing this personal, intimate touch from God. It was God saying, I saw your struggle. I know what you were going through, and I put this together to encourage you. And think about all that had to go into that. The guy had to be born on December 20, some hundred years ago. Meet this woman who was born on the same date. They get married, and they become a preacher. They become an expository preacher. He writes a book, and I find this out. That's, you cannot comprehend the love of God toward you and the extremes to which God will go to show you personally how much he loves you. And when you know how much Christ loves you, that builds that root system, that foundation in your heart that motivates you to love him and to love others. I pray that you would know the love of God in your life, that you would experience it, that you would taste it. And then his last prayer request, which is probably the most remarkable. Verse 19, I pray that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How about that one? Christian, I pray that you yourself would be filled with all the fullness of God. That your life would be filled to overflowing with God. That people would look and see God all over your life. That God would flow forth from your life. They'd see God in your smile, in your demeanor, in the way you work, in the way you treat other people, in what your marriage looks like, in every area of your life. May the supernatural feeling and touch of God be upon you. And may it be evident. Isn't that incredible? Paul prayed that they would be strong inside, that Christ would be at home in their hearts, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, that we would know by personal experience and enjoy the love of Christ towards us, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. And Paul believed that God could answer these prayers. In verse 20, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul says, I pray this for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I know that Christ can answer these prayers. Listen, Christ can make you strong inside. You can know all these things. So do you. Christian, do you? Christian, are you strong inside? Are you working on that? Are you dependent upon the Lord? Are you letting Christ dwell in your life? Is Christian love rooted deeply? Do you want God to be known in and through your life? Are you experiencing the love of Christ towards you? Father, I pray that that would be what we all experience, that that would be the norm for our lives as Christians. Make us strong. I want to pray for your people this morning. Lord, for those here this morning, right now, who are definitely holding something back, something in your life that you're holding back. You're afraid to give that away. Oh, I can't give that to God. Give it to God right now. Trust him. Maybe you're here this morning and you are really struggling with some hatred. There's somebody in your life that needs to be forgiven. And you say, and I'm not saying it's easy, it's hard. But you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And think of all that you've been forgiven. Maybe you just needed to know this morning that Christ loves you. He does. He really, really, really does. More than anybody ever could. It could be that there are some here this morning and you've not yet asked Jesus into the house. He hasn't moved in yet. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead. He's alive. The Bible says that you must admit that you need him. You must admit that, and this should be easy for you. It should be easy for all of us. You need to admit to God that you're not perfect. That you have sin in your life. Christ died for sins. And his blood washes away all sins. And if you ask him to be your Savior, all your sins will be forgiven. And he will come into your life. If you've never done that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. I invite you right now to pray this prayer with me. You say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my house. Be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I am a sinner. I freely admit it. Wash all my sins away. Make me your child. Fill me with your Spirit. Change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We'll close up.